What I forgot to mention was that in order to make next week's sermon short, get comfortable is what I'm saying. Now, please turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 will once again be our text this morning. I was 5 years old. My mom had just gotten sick with an illness from which she would never awake. Moved in with my grandparents in South Jersey and had to go to kindergarten in a new school halfway through the year without knowing anybody. I remember sitting in the desk in the middle of the room, awkward, sad, burdened, and then snack time came. But I didn't know they had snack time, so I didn't have anything. And I was sad for two reasons. One, my life was a mess. And two, I really like snacks. I kind of looked down and closed my eyes, felt sheepish and embarrassed. And then I realized that all the kids around me started giving me some of their snacks. 41 years ago, I still remember, I could still see it in my brain. How a little sacrifice from strangers made such a huge impact on someone with a burden. Friends, we get to do that with each other. We get to make small sacrifices of time, of affection, of energy that makes other people's lives livable. Other people's lives tolerable. Little sacrifices. See, my friends, pride is more powerful than pain. And we will try to lift things, especially men, right? We will try to lift things we have no business lifting by ourselves because we don't want to admit that it's too heavy. Pride is more powerful than pain. But if we surround ourselves with people who love Jesus, people who love us, they may bear our burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Let's review a little bit. Last week we talked about the fact that we must be gentle in correction. We talked about when somebody, look in verse 1, it says, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted." We saw that our heartbreak was when somebody fell into a trespass. Our prerequisite was that we ourselves would be spiritual enough to help them. Our goal was to restore them to full health, like setting a dislocated shoulder back into place. We saw that our manner was to be gentle so as not to add to their pain. And our caution was that we were to keep watch over ourselves lest we begin to think that we're too strong to stumble. In verse 2, then, we find this, that we are to be gracious in consolation. Not only gentle in correction, but gracious in consolation. Notice what we find in verse 2. It says this, "Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." What an amazing command that is. That the obedience to Christ includes demands that we sacrifice a little bit to keep others from being crushed. So what are we commanded to do? Notice what it says. To bear one another's burdens. There are certain things in our lives, certain times in our lives where we cannot bear up under the weight of our pressures, of our temptations, of our fear, of our struggles. And we might want to put our heads down and close our eyes and just hope that nobody notices our pain. But the church isn't like that. And all of a sudden we realize that our brothers and sisters in Christ are next to us, behind us, in front of us, surrounding us, saying, "We will take some of the weight that you cannot bear." That's why we love the church, isn't it? We love the church because they're there for us. What are we commanded to do? We're commanded to bear one another's burden. We are commanded to lighten one another's load. We are commanded to make the lives of others easier by sharing their struggles. And the picture that always comes to my mind is the one I included here on the slide. Is that of a pallbearer? Friends, can you imagine being asked to carry a casket by yourself? Any of you who have served as pallbearers know that even with 6 or 7 guys around the casket, it's still pretty heavy. But the more help you have, the lighter it feels. Reminds me of my big old bass amp. I don't use it for practice because it's too big, but I use it when I'm, you know, playing for worship, and it is huge and it has 2 handles on it. And what I try to do is lift it up myself because I want everybody to see how strong I am. On the inside, I'm crying like a 3-year-old little boy. Sometimes I go home afterwards, my back hurts, my abdomen is sore from lifting this big thing. But most of the time, if I grunt and look to the side like this, somebody will come and take one handle, I'll take the other handle, and it's light. Light as a feather. There are certain things in life, certain times in life, certain aspects of life that you cannot bear by yourself. And it is the responsibility, it is the blessing of those around you to help you lift that. And it is one of the greatest joys in the Christian life. Am I right? We must be gracious in consolation. So what does this involve? First of all, it involves recognizing that there's a need in the first place. This requires us to be honest about our struggles and our limitations. This requires us to be actively involved in the lives of others. It requires us to be honest about the fact that we need help. And then when we recognize that, the next step is to reach out and to fill those needs. And sometimes that means we just sit there and listen. Like when somebody's on their deathbed. You feel so helpless, but you can sit there and listen. Or even pray. Or even preach. Sometimes we're too quick with that. We forget that it could comfort people just to be there. Sometimes it means that we need to spring into action. I call that the Rob Green approach. He's the best. You text them, "I have COVID," immediately. "What do you need? What can I do?" That's bearing one another's burdens and thus fulfilling the law of Christ. Sometimes you sit there and do nothing. Sometimes you spring to action. Sometimes you mean It just means just simply praying and asking God to give the other person strength. John MacArthur said it this way. I think he's right. He says, we can help bear such burdens through encouragement, exhortation, and accountability. Something as simple as developing a friendship can have a wonderfully strengthening effect on a weak Christian. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, help your brethren. If you see that they have more to do than they can accomplish, take a share of their labor. If they have a heavier burden than they can bear, try to put your shoulders beneath their load and so lighten it for them. So what does it mean then that this fulfills the law of Christ? And remember, Jesus said that what we do to the least of his, we do to him. Loving one another is an act of worship. It is an act of obedience, an act of discipleship. Love fulfills the law of Christ. Love is the law of Christ. That's why in Galatians 5:14, my friends, we find this. For the whole law is fulfilled in the word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's why Romans 13:8-10 says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Small sacrifices at key times with the right motives can change somebody's life. Here I am in my very late 30s. And I see one of those vanilla, like, Oreo-type cookies on a desk in front of me. Some pretzels. And I see the snacks that kids gave me years ago. You may be changing someone's life and not even really know. You may be worshiping Christ by being a minister of mercy. But to do that, you must guard yourself from conceit. Why is it that we don't help each other? One word. Are you ready? Pride. Pride is what keeps us from sharing with one another that we have need for help. And pride is what keeps us from helping one another. We think we're just flat out too good to get our hands dirty in people's messy lives. We must, beloved, guard against conceit. Would you look with me at verse 3? In verse 2, it says to bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill. That is, that's how we fulfill the law of Christ. For, that's because, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. What is Paul saying here? Paul is saying that when you see someone, especially a fellow believer, as we'll get into in further weeks, do good to all men, but especially those of the faith. If you see someone who has a need and you say, well, I can't be bothered with that. That's somebody else's job. Somebody lower can see to that. Then you fail to fulfill the law of Christ. See, we all talk about humility. But do we have it? John Calvin said this, when people commonly refer to humility, they usually mean a kind of feigned lowliness. That's fake lowliness. For those people may say that in all honesty they are nothing, but then they are still bloated like toads with the venom of pride. And people think I'm negative. Do you hear that? When we talk about an uplifting message, you're bloated like a toad. That should be the... They don't make Hallmark cards for that. But his point is a valid point. Most of the time we talk about humility and we act like we're humble, but on the inside we're still puffed up. Spurgeon says, Paul does not say he deceives other people. No, he deceives himself. As a general rule, other people find him out and learn what he really is, but he deceives himself. Notice in verse 3, it says this, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So is humility simply a low opinion of yourself? No, it's an accurate opinion of yourself. In Romans 12:3, it says this, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. So it's not humility to say, if you're good at baseball, oh, I stink at baseball. No, you don't. It's not having a low opinion of yourself. It's having an accurate opinion of yourself, which, incidentally, will probably be pretty low. So notice then what we find here. In verse 4, it says, but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. What on earth does this mean? Well, it means this, it's okay to feel good about doing good, as long as you don't parade it in front of other people. If you bear one another's burdens and that makes you happy, good. But you don't have to spew that to everyone around you. You don't have to try to convince everyone that you're somehow greater than you are. Just keep it in here. Let it bless you. Jeremiah 9:24 says this, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things. Now, incidentally, tonight in evening service, we're going to talk about 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we're going to see that God also delights in punishing the wicked. Let me encourage you to be there tonight. I'm really enjoying the study of 1 Samuel. I think you will too. In Galatians 6:14, it says this, but may it be, never be, that I would boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the whole world has been crucified to me. And then notice what he says here in verse 5. For each one will bear his own load. What on earth does this mean? How is it that we are supposed to bear one another's burdens, and yet we're all supposed to bear our own load, our own work? Well, I think what's going on here is simply this. There is a burden that is too much for us, and that must be helped and borne by others. But there's also a responsibility that each one of us has. I mean, imagine I'm up here straining to lift up my big bass amp. And you come up and you say, Dom, you need help? I go, yeah, brother, thanks. And then when you go to touch the handle, I just walk away. Thanks a lot, man. See ya. No, you see that attitude? That's what Paul's correcting. We want to help one another, but we still got to do what we got to do. Reasonable responsibility, reasonable grace. Again, Spurgeon says this, there is, after all, a burden which we cannot carry for others, in which we cannot shift upon others. There are burdens of care and sorrow and trouble which we can take from other men's shoulders, but the great burden of responsibility before God, each man must himself carry. So what does this call us to? What does this call us to? First of all, preserve each other's dignity. When you catch someone in sin or when someone is caught up in sin, let your heart beat with a desire to lift them up, to cover them, not expose them, not punish them, not break them. And again, we're not talking about somebody who is exhibiting a pattern of willful, malicious sin. No, we're asking the question, how do we deal with somebody who stumbles? Well, we preserve each other's dignity. So when you see one another acting in a way they shouldn't, speaking in a way they shouldn't, go to them, not to everybody else. Be gentle with them. Makes me think of Noah's sons. Remember after the flood, Noah got drunk, ended up laying in his tent, naked. I don't understand the story either, you know? But he's there, and his first son comes along and sees him and goes to the other two sons and says, Dad's blitzed in the tent. Let's go laugh at him. The other two sons grab a blanket, they walk backwards, and they cover him. They preserved his dignity, except for the fact that it is in recorded history for the, you know, thousands of years. They did their best. Preserve each other's dignity. Secondly, my friends, pursue an honest humility. Why? Two reasons. Because pride kills our compassion. Thinking highly of ourselves, too highly of ourselves, will lead us away from helping others, not to helping others. The more we value ourselves, the more we will miss opportunity to be of value to somebody else. Pride kills compassion. It is the attitude that sees a homeless person on the side of the road and says, "Get a job." As if we're better. It's the attitude that walks past the suffering without any feeling. Pride kills compassion. But also pride begs God to punish us. Pride goeth before a what? Tell me. Fall. See, I went King James on you. You know I mean it this time. The Bible says when we get puffed up, what's going to happen? We're going to trip. God loves that. God loves humbling us by letting us trip in our own folly. We'll see that a little bit again tonight. Preserve each other's dignity. Pursue an honest humility. And press on towards maturity. Let love destroy your arrogance. Let it break down this resistance to show any vulnerability. Get rid of that. And do what may be the hardest thing to do. Ask for help. Some of you may be struggling today emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, and you just won't tell anybody because you're afraid they'll think less of you. Because they might. Let go of that. The Lord Jesus Christ became a real human being to experience what it's like to be a real human being. Let love destroy your arrogance. And finally, my friends, let love focus your attention. Train your eyes. Train your eyes to see people who need a lift, a boost, an encouragement. And if you can do that, if you can sit beside the dying, if you can encourage the frustrated, if you could do whatever it is that will lighten their load, do it. Not like a Judaizer who would do it to boast about how good they are, but do it out of love for the Savior of souls. Let love focus your attention. Dear Heavenly Father, we have much need for this. I know I do. I thank you for my family. Stand next to me, who sit next to me, who live with me when I need that boost, they give it. I thank you for the elders who work with one another, lift one another up, to seek your glory in this church. My fellow pastors, thank you for the people here who seem so intent to encourage each other and me. Lord, there's so much to be worried about, to be frustrated over, to be scared of. But Lord, there's so much to celebrate, to be encouraged by and lifted up. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who is particularly struggling, maybe they're depressed, dealing with the loss of a loved one, maybe they're sick in their bodies, Lord, would you continue to mold Calvary Bible Church into a place where the sick, the suffering, the struggling can come and be lifted up? Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning who does not know you as Lord and Savior, would you please remind them that they are to come to you? If they are weak and heavy laden, and you will give them rest for their souls because you're gentle and lowly. Would you help them to leave their burdens behind? Lord, I pray for us who may not fit either category, may not be particularly struggling, and may not be not yet saved. I pray for that category of us that you would protect our eyes from being distracted from those who need us. Protect our hearts from becoming so prideful that we think we're above such things. Lord, would you teach us to love you and to fulfill your law by being there for each other? To the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name.
You are my
The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. You're dismissed.